This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Some people think we don't have the right to say it's my country. Before they give in, they'd rather fuss and fight than say it's my country. I paid 300 years or more of slave driving sweat and welts on my back. This is my country. Too many have died in protecting my pride for me to go second class. We've survived the hard blow, and I want you to know that you'll face us at last. And I know you will give consideration. Shall we perish unjust or live equal as a nation? This is my country. And I know you will give consideration. Shall we perish unjust or live equal as a nation? This is my country.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, a beautiful day here. All of that lovely rain falling and you can't see anything. You can't see the poly or the mountain and but still, it's beautiful. Once in a while, we need that, right? And nice warm rain dropping. Of course, this is for Hawaii. Now, those of you that are in Maryland and Michigan and all, it's going to be a little chill to it. But we understand. We're hoping and praying for you. But, well, while it falls here, we're fortunate the hurricane missed us but brought us some rain. And it went on its way and that's the cycle of life here, as we call it, the planet, or our home. Last week I was talking extensively about the rail and the stadium mall, the stadium, the Aloha Stadium, and its use or intended use by HART in this whole thing. They need to site a station there on the property of the stadium. And right now, they're currently on the MOU and a consent with the state, HART is, to temporarily work there. And as I shared with you last week, temporary to stage and to work off that site. But in the background, they're looking at permanent activity. So I have Richard DeConte, and I've shared with him some of the documents. And there was a state audit as well. And I didn't get a chance to go into details on the state audit, but we will this time. And it's more of the same. And if some of you, so you might want to tune out or tune in something else. But there's some specific points here that speak to hearts. Ability and the governor's ability and the stadium authority's ability to manipulate, as well as the city and the mayor. They all want this rail. And I did speak with the Interior Department and the gentleman there, and he wasn't aware of the auditor's report, nor was he aware. This is what he represented now, I should say, that he was not aware, but he has rendered opinions and decisions. And so I do have concerns as to what is developed. You can pick us up at carolcox.com. Click on live, listen to talk radio, or go to KWAI 1080 and click on live listen in case you're having some static or want to suggest to others to turn in and listen to it. So 524-1080 is the number, but hold on your calls and Good morning, Richard. Are you there?
No, Richard's on the other line.
You got to call the other line.
Okay.
This Marshall. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Hello? Anyway, we got a phone hook up there. Misstep there. Yes. Good morning, Richard.
No.
You're calling. Which number are you calling?
1080.
524-1080.
Yep.
Richard, are you there?
Hello.
Yes. You have a comment, a question, real quick.
How you doing, Carol?
I'm doing fine. You have a comment or question regarding the show? I guess not. Okay. Okay. Anyway, you know, it's one thing to be an annoyance and then to expect or people to be respectful of you, you know, at some point, no matter what your status is or what it is you're presenting to the world, you must be willing to be rejected sometimes, because if you can't discipline yourself to be part of something, then it's called disruption. So if it sounds harsh in treating you, calling in. If you don't know what the show is about and you don't have any questions, I'm not doing this for the entertainment. I rarely get lonely, so I apologize. You there, Marsha?
Yes.
You got a comment, a question, anything?
I was very interested in the follow-up from last week to see what you had uncovered, and especially since you said you had talked to the Interior and they somehow didn't know about the audit. I wanted to hear what that was about, and I am very interested in this.
Okay.
Because I'm like you, I think that there's a lot of Pilakia going on, and especially one of your callers last week said Mufi promised us this wasn't going to cost, and yet here we are, and Mufi is running now saying he's reimagined himself, he's a new person.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, there's also let's put them all on the same bus. Mufi Hanneman said that, Kurt Caldwell said that, Carlisle said that, Abercrombie said that, Ige said that, and the rest of the choir said that. So they're all part of this problem to defraud the public and not present them with the facts. So, you know, let's spread it like butter equally on the...
okay.
I don't want to hold back in being untruthful. You know, so anyway...
But I'm anxious to hear what the auditor said and... you know, the follow-up to all the work you've done.
Okay. Well, try hang up and hold on for a minute, because I think this number is, there's a problem, a glitch here. I had to ask him to call on the 1080. You're on a different number.
I am?
Uh-huh.
I call 1080.
Yeah. But okay, anyway, just hang up and hold on. Give him, let's see if he can call in through this
number. Okay.
Okay. We've had glitches here.
Okay.
anyway, the situation with the rail, I could not believe the guy's name is David Siegenthaler, and he is with the Federal Lands to Parks Program Coordinator, the Pacific region of the National Park. And what we have is a situation that I'm going to read this letter. And I apologize for sounding confused. I'm not. It's just trying to juggle the phones there with the disruption. This is a letter, April 5th, 2013. Richard, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All righty. Good morning. How are you?
Thank you very, very much.
And yeah.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah. So let me finish this little introduction,
yes, please,
and then this is Richard DeConte, and so what we have is Richard. I'm reading this letter, just referencing this letter, written to Scott Chan, of the stadium manager from the Department of the Interior, written April 5th, 2013, and as I've shared with you, the actual audit of the auditor, state auditors, just some of the things that I'm going to touch on. I spoke with Siegenthaler, and I'm going to wait for him to get back to me. But he has agreed to some agreement with the state and the city about MOUs, but he had no knowledge of the things that the Foley report reveals. He has no knowledge of the auditor's report. And so it confirms in my mind that someone with politics and big business and deep pockets are controlling even the Interior Department in this situation and granting this. But what I'm going to read here is that I think this is a quote from the letter. I think both we and the state have struggled somewhat to determine what uses are appropriate for Aloha Stadium. The facility is an awkward fit into the Federal Lands to Parks program in that it is geared more to support it, to spectator sports, than to public outdoor recreation. And it is a large facility that requires revenues sufficient to support it. The general rule is that concessions may be used to support the public recreational use of the site, and reasonable fees may be charged to support that use. Uses such as retail sales that are specifically to generate revenues as opposed to facilitating the public's recreational use of the site are not consistent with the terms of the conveyance.
Oh, my.
And the exploration of abrogation of the restrictive deed conditions by either negotiated sale or land exchange and correspondence by legislative direction, and in 2008 memorandum of agreement, our understanding, appear to be due to the awkward programmatic fit and the desire for revenue generation without the public recreation constraints. In the meantime, your letter of January 30, 2013 lays out a reasonable approach to operating the facility consistent with the requirements of the program as they apply specifically to Aloha Stadium. As we discussed in person in September, public parks are frequently used for private events, as long as the private use do not displace the primary public use. The type of events you name in your letter, company meetings, workshops, training, retreats, etc., celebratory parties for birthdays, weddings, awkward awards, and seasonal activities and celebrations, all could be acceptable, even if not open to the general public, as long as they meet the criteria that do not interfere with the public use of the stadium property and that public recreational uses take precedence over private events. In fact, given the nature of the stadium facility and the revenues needed to support it, they could be seen as helping to make maximum use of the facility so that it can be appropriately maintained. Regarding the rapid transit easement and associated structures, we must defer significantly to local land use decisions.
Oh,
and your determinations regarding the usefulness of that rapid transit station to stadium operations and public access. Our findings regarding this acceptability within the terms of FLPD is dependent upon its serving as a public access facility for the public recreational use of the stadium park. Now, this is the regulator giving in, rolling over on its back and saying, we're going to defer to the people that want to build this rail, the people that support this rail, whose life depends on this rail, whose future depends on this rail, and yet they're supposed to be manufacturing and enhancing the recreational value for the people. This is a parks and lands people. And basically, loosely worded, and just here, you take the helm and you steer the boat. We initially left port with a file of destination to San Francisco, but now that we're out in midwater, you can go wherever you want to. We're out of sight, out of mind. And this is the role, I think, that the Interior Department has deferred. And so this boat, so to speak, has been commandeered by the Grabowskis, the Harts, the Abercrombies, the Igays, and all the others who, and the Donovan de la Cruz's, who, by the way, shows up as stakeholders and were interviewed. So, Richard, I've rambled on enough on that, but go ahead. And what did you find in that to be of interest?
Well, thank you very, very much for letting me speak. Manipulate semantics, what you just said, use words with double meaning. I called last week, but I had to leave for the handy van, and it was at 10 o'clock, and very quickly, the van never come at 10, 10:30, 11, 11:15, it came. That's simply a divergence. But to begin with, a discussion, a debate, you have to define terms, swap, recreation, entertainment, commercial. I'm not an authority on anything, I'm just a trying to be an actor.
But no problem, you can read, and you're an educator.
Well, Oliver Goldsmith said, I think this is absolutely essential, quote, laws grind the poor, and rich men make the law. The rights of investors, not citizens. I have 62 pages of a document and 90 of another, but I'm going to start with the first one. Investigation of Stadium Authority Swap Meet Operation. It's a report to the governor and to the legislature by Marion Higa, the auditor, March 12, 02. And to us, it's a public investigation. She said that this whole process of the swap meet at the stadium continues at risk and that there has been very little oversight, that the authorities seem to ignore the operation, and the risks are in non-compliance. Now, what she's done, and I'll say this quickly, laws, rules, reports, land deeds, surveys, maps, committee meeting minutes. And she's followed the auditor's manual of guides, auditing standards. Now, the Fed gave to the city the property, and the city gave it to the state through deeds. And it's supposed to be for two reasons. One is recreation, public park recreation. Commercial purposes are not allowed. Here more specifically is what they said. This is the feds. Shall not be sold, assigned, disposed of, except to another local government agency. But if the Secretary of the Interior is satisfied, perhaps this could be done. But it's supposed to be for recreational attainment purposes. Now, who could make the changes? Governor, Lieutenant Governor, State Department of Natural Resources, City Mayor, Corporation Council, City Council, City Natural Resource Agency. So that is what HIGA, the auditor, has said. Now we come to the second document, 90 pages or whatever, but I'll try to summarize. It is the Aloha Stadium Comprehensive Site Summary. Now, this is by a law firm in New York City called Foley, F-O-L-E-Y, and Lardner, L-A-R-D-N-E-R. This is a legal private consulting agency. And in the document, they have pictures of three stadiums at Southern Methodist University, at North Texas, and at Houston. The only conclusion they come to is perhaps the city and the state want to build a new stadium, and it could be SMU, North Texas, or like Houston. Now, the document is to the Hawaiian Department of Accounting and General Services and to the Stadium Authority. This document was given on June 26, 2014. The objectives of this document by Foley and Lardner is legal and practical, environmental summary, construction, development, and real estate of the Aloha Stadium property operation. Summarized with interviews and meetings from 35 stakeholders. And on the last page of the document, they're all listed. The potential redevelopment of Aloha Stadium and the surrounding area. And we want to comply with the needs and desire of the community in Hawaii. Our purpose is legal and practical obstacles and what we can summarize from them. We want to consolidate into this report the use of public, private decision makers, and this is not subjective opinion on our part. Now, there are deeds restrictions, and this is what Higa brought up before. Public parks and recreation. And this document by this company, agency, law firm, is for possibly improving the stadium or building a new stadium. And what they're concerned with are the implications of environmental and infrastructure. May 3rd, 2012. And here comes HART. Evaluate HART project here at the stadium. Now, there are comments about the environment in terms of petroleum beneath the surface and oil, etc., but I shall skip that.
And let's go back. I covered quite a bit of that, of this report, last week when you were speaking out. If we could put up front the HIGA report and the contents of that, you have your...
Yes, well, essentially, this is what she said. The two concerns were for a recreational park and a entertainment, and they've violated that. They're not in compliance, and the Stadium Authority has changed. So it went from the feds to the city to the state to the different agencies who now are in control of the operation of the stadium.
HIGA, in her report, she mentioned that a alternate definition of recreational activities be issued. She admonished them to go back, the Stadium Authority, to get and redefine that, number one. And I asked HART, and I asked the stadium, has an alternate definition, as she described, of recreational activities been issued? And if yes, when was it issued? Please provide a definition, a new copy of the new definition. Has a determination by the National Park Service determined that the proposed uses does or does not fit with the definition of recreational activities, state, city's plans? If yes, the auditor's report states that by September 2011, the Park Service indicated it would support the non-exclusive easement because the transit stop can support purposes of the park. And let's talk about that for a minute. The purposes of the park is a spectator sport. The public really don't participate in any of that. So the recreational value has been brought into question and has been raised, even with the Interior Department. That's why they said it's a touchy definition, and the use of it is kind of questionable anyway, because it's supposed to be to enhance the recreational value. So they're fudging the line in one sense to say that spectator, non-participant recreational activity, and then to come and say that you need to fund yourself. And so they come up with the various reasons. But they don't say that they've charged Hart any money or going to recover any money from the use of the land by Hart. They
no,
don't
that's
say
not, that definitely hasn't been decided.
Right. And so on one hand, they say, well, we're using the swap meet to bring revenue to support and pay for the activities at the stadium. And they charge CNN or whoever is ESPN, whatever the venue is or the company that's broadcasting it, the Pro Bowl, for example, so much per day is given with not to exceed $32,000 or something of that nature. But I don't see anything in here that say Hart is going to pay a nickel. I see what it says Hart is going to take away some parkings and then loan the parking spots to the city or to the stadium authority if they find that they need it on high-pressure days or event days.
Take 4 acres and operate 600 parking spots, but the exact acreage is unclear.
Right. So anyway, the auditor also expressed concerns, however, about more elaborate development of the site and reserve the right to review the plans again. Have any plans been submitted by your agency, this is my question, or other agencies for the National Park Review to address the concerns by the National Park?
Yeah, this is what the city has planned, Development Transit Bill, IPT. Now, let me give you the auxiliary developments, the subordinate or lesser. Hart wants what's called Main Street Development, Hart Station to the stadium. And for this, on this property, a band shell fairgrounds complex, restaurants, non-resort hotels, mixed use, sports facilities, museum, job center, corporate offices, transportation hub, and nearby low-income housing and a data center.
Mm-hmm.
And to allow negotiations with private developers.
Mm-hmm.
And this might differ from current zoning.
Yeah. Now, again, the fly in the ointment here is that, and this is not a political statement, but when Hanneman was in, he put in place key people to carry out this whole underhanded practice, and I describe it as underhanded because when the Interior Department is not, and I'm only going on what the gentleman David Stigma stated. I'm going to take him for his words and him representing the Siegenthaler is his name, taking him for his word that he did not know and had not seen these audits or had not seen the Fuller report. If that's the case, then all things should be taken from the table and they should be marched in and held accountable for any of the activities.
Absolutely.
Period. And so I did forward him. I have not heard anything back. But again, this auditor's report on Marion Heger, it was done in 2012, but it's relevant because they've already argued and sweated it out, and they say they don't agree. They, being the stadium authority, don't agree with the auditor.
That was the original law.
Right, I understand, but there's a point here I'm trying to express here. The auditor states that in Chapter 2, stadium authority lacks the promises to U.S. government and overseeing swap meet operations. So there's a history. So they got away with it with the swap meet, and they whined and cried and got what they wanted in a way and fudged the line. And so it worked then, so now here comes heart. Well, we are experts at it, and we have an audience where the regulator, who's supposed to be overseeing the recreational values and enhancement, abandons the whole role of overseer and becomes just a casual observer. So in her statement, Higa states in the audit, the stadium authority has been ineffective in guiding and managing its swap meet operations.
Yep.
We found that the board neglected to notify and seek federal approval of changes to swap meet operations over the years, an obligation it agreed to when it purchased the stadium lands. So the foundation, folks, of this entire process with HART, this isn't just about HART. What we're doing is we're watching a group of people with specific and special interests whittle away at something right beneath our eyes, our noses. Right? I mean, right here in front of us, and we have no clue. But there is this whole theft of orchestration that's going on. And so the land restriction be used for the much of the land underneath the swap meet, the audit goes on, is federal surplus land with restrictions that it, quote, be used only for public park or public recreation use in perpetuity, and that, quote, commercial purposes are not allowed. So where then does HART get the ability? Well, now they have an MOU and a consent, and that we've expressed concerns, read where the state is saying, you haven't agreed to all those conditions, but they're still letting them move on.
The Department of Interior will defer to the state.
Right, and that sounds like a setup there, isn't it?
Absolutely. No, I mean collusion, conspiracy. Governor Abercrombie's Office of Planning is powerful, and the New Day Plan and State Planning Act is exactly what the former Governor Abercrombie wants.
And now you can find this report at carolcox.com, the audit. Now, we did the Foley report last week, and the reason I'm doubling back is that this gives a foundation that there is something going on that it doesn't meet the smell test. It stinks.
Of course.
Of high hell of corruption and abuse of powers, abuse of authority, and just flat-out lying.
Well, I have that last letter from to Grabowskis from Psyche,
mm-hmm.
And it in effect says that they're reluctant, but to Comptroller Dean Psyche, to Grabowskis,
mm-hmm.
We're interested in the public benefit, and if HART needs this on short terms, and of course BLNR, the ILEA, and Suji, there are others here, but this is in the letter from the comptroller to Grabowskis,
mm-hmm.
And he, of course, is the CEO.
So in other words, to be clear, the Interior Department, who is the police in this matter, a regulatory body,
yep.
In this matter, to make sure that the covenants and the restrictions to the deed are observed and guide the whole process, and that the public is their right in extension and enhancement of recreational value is recognized. But instead, through the loosely worded, we believe that you could,
yes.
And I never saw one word where they use the term shall.
No.
It was mostly written you may, but never shall. So in other words, the strict adherence to the covenants and the restrictions were abandoned way back. But the auditor, and that's the nice thing about Marion Higa, the state is corrupt, but she on many, many, many occasions would come in and just give you exactly the facts and the truth. And then that's all she could do. She didn't have it, and it was left up to the Egays and the Donovan De La Cruz's and all the others that the quote stakeholders
complicit,
right? And so, but let me go on. The federal government has indicated its concerns that the swap meet operations, now a bustling commercial enterprise, may violate federal restriction.
May violate.
You see, even the auditors left with half statements or half-truths because she can't sort through it. But in her report, moreover, the board and its stadium manager have surrendered management responsibilities to their swap meet contractor, Centerplate, which operates with little oversight. By failing to provide leadership and guidance, and adequate contract administration authority, officials have allowed Centerplate to make unilateral changes to swap meet operations, upsetting vendors. Also, Centerplate's failure to consistently enforce its rules allowed swap meet vendors to operate illegally and avoid state and general excise tax obligations. So what we have here is a process that has been proven and tried, and they ignore the rules, and so now it's a perfect climate, perfect environment for Hart to move in and get what it's wanting, and to abridge or abrogate the actual conditions of the conveyance and the deeds. And while the Interior Department stands in the back room with their high hats and playing the game, giving them what they want because it's politics.
I can give you a very brief indication of what HART is. It started with Honolulu Rail Transit Project in 2007-06, and the HART was HART Authority for Rapid Transportation. It's a semi-autonomous authority or power. Its purpose is to oversee planning, construction, operation, and extension of transit.
Right.
It's autonomous, and this is what it has.
Right.
Autonomous is the power of self-governing.
Yeah.
Can hire their own lawyers and trustees, hire their own workers, not necessarily civil service. And perhaps somebody has to correct me if I make...
Yeah, let's stop there for a minute. And what's the significance of this definition, what you're describing? Well, it was purposely done this way so that they could have autonomous behavior or semi-autonomous, and they become untouchable. But you need the other element is you need a body of people that's within government to facilitate.
Yep.
And so I offer that on occasion. Someone is called up and asked, well, what's the difference between semi-autonomous and privatizing and all? The difference is at the end of the day, the public has a box of jewels.
Yep.
Very valuable, precious jewels. And come nighttime, they don't have anything because it's been taken from them through hook and crook and through articulate writing and articulation and the abandonment of what it is that government is supposed to do, protect the interests of the people. That's basically what you're witnessing. Hold on 1 second.
Go to the city for a line of credit.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Oh, yes. This is Marcia. And while you were talking, I looked up the Stadium Authority and who's on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the Stadium Authority consists of 9 members appointed by the governor with the advice and consent of the Senate. But here's the one I just found. Serving as ex officio, non-voting members are President of the University of Hawaii and the Superintendent of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with these names, all of which are recognizable.
What are the names? You're giving me titles.
Charlie Taguchi.
Okay.
Chairperson.
And we know who he is. He's some describe him as.
Wilbur Chi.
Okay.
Scotty Long. Odetta Fujimura. Edward Hasegawa. And Rene
mm-hmm.
Rabago.
Okay.
Keith Bulls, Bukoski.
Keith Bukowski, former state representative.
Mm-hmm. And Ross Yamasaki.
So, and there is also, Klompas, I thought, was on that board.
Who?
Marsha Klompas at one time, or is, or some
not
of the...
Not now.
Okay, not now. Okay,
uh-huh.
But at the time. But anyway, there's the problem. Put in place the people that will facilitate you, and they don't answer the problem, they don't fix the problem, and they never intended to.
Name all the engineers from that list.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aren't any.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I think you've well described the mechanism, and you described a momentum. And I think that's why it's important to vote for Murphy Hanneman. Now, we as taxpayers have to point a direction. I want to mention a little bit about a stadium.
Let me send you the bill for your campaign speech for Murphy Hanneman.
I would like to talk a little bit about the stadium.
How much are you going to pay me? This is a paid commercial, or we don't endorse anybody here.
I think he...
I know, but just let's...
I'll support more if you like, or I can move on to the stadium.
Well, whatever, but you've already offered more, and I'm just allowing my other listeners to know that we don't endorse anyone. So
Okay. There's
no reason to say that you can go out and vote for Murphy Hanneman. This, all we do is provide information, and you vote for who you... You can vote for your puppy if you want to.
All right, then. Can I go on with the stadium?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
All right. It's mostly vacant. It has those commercial interests, and Hart would like to do some facility building. That's all good. There's facilities for making food. There's a kind of a medicine place there. There's seats. You could put in a stage for entertainment, have a radio station broadcast out of there, have people give messages and get paid for a minute's presentation on the air and pick a song.
Where do you find this information that this is written?
No, this is what you can do with a vacant stadium all across the world. Make a farmer's market.
But you first must get it legally. You must adhere to the conveyances and the restrictions of the deed. You just can't go plop down. I think you're missing a point here. The point isn't whether we agree or not agree. It's that it's taken from our hands. That's the way it's done and being manipulated.
You understand the mechanism, and you see the momentum.
Right. And we want to stop the momentum. Fraud is fraud.
Well, we got to get a direction, and I think you know who my man is.
Well, good. I don't have a man.
All right, then.
Thank you, Curtis.
Bye.
Aloha. Anyway, guys, let me just go on with this report, and I'm just joshing with Curtis. It's just fun. Nobody takes it personal. Lack of federal approval for the use of the Aloha Stadium lands put swap meet operations and future plans at risk.
Yep.
Because they know that there are restrictions.
Yep.
And this is the auditor. Now, this isn't Carol Cox and Curtis and Richard DeConte and Marsha Joyner sitting around in a hui and just talking and theorizing.
Yep.
This is an entity that is responsible for it. We thought that when the auditor goes in, then the auditor looks at things and tells us where it's broken, what's efficient, how to improve things for the interests of the people. Efficiency.
Yep.
Apparently, the stadium authority said, to hell with you. We don't agree with you, and we're moving on. And that's in a letter. They don't agree.
Just to refer back kindly to the last caller, is that everybody has an opinion. But you do not start with a blank mind. The opinion is based upon something, and that you have to make permanent through print if you want to discuss that which we are talking about.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that because there is a risk of insulting people, and I have a tendency of starting just assuming that we all know the same thing, or because when we engage in the same conversation and start to advocate for something, I assume you got your facts and it's not just emotion. But what I would, an observation that I do make here, is that isn't it funny we had the super fairy that came in here and said, to hell with the environmental laws.
Oh,
right?
Of course.
To hell with the environmental laws.
Lord,
and now we see now the rail, to hell with the laws. And we see now who has reappeared, Murphy Hanneman. And guess what? He see that this tactic, this strategy that he has employed over the years with the rail, he's feeling good of himself, you know.
Yep.
He's feeling that he can go sow more oats.
Well, he's conned the public.
Right. And in turn, he is there, and we have people singing his praise, and now he's so... shook of himself and the strategies and the dumbed down community here, that he is boldly stepping forward and saying, to hell with it, I want to bring back the super ferry. He didn't say, I want to bring back the super ferry, but this time damn it, we're going to adhere to the rules of the road, and if it succeed, fine. If it does not, and I believe a ferry would be welcome here, but we must do it the legal and the logical, environmentally sound way.
Well, two things. The Lingle administration, along with the legislature, I mean, she doesn't get to do this alone, but they're the ones that really screwed that up. That could have been a good thing, and they, like you're saying, shortcut.
How did they screw it up, the Senate, the legislators? How did they screw it up?
No, I meant they had to go along with passing out whatever she, you know, wanted to shortcut the environment.
No, they didn't have to.
Okay.
They didn't have to because they're
saying they did.
What? No, no, no. You said they had. Okay.
No, I'm saying that you can't. We can't let them off the hook. Is what I'm saying.
Right. Because she may have gone, but that's why they're separate bodies.
Yep.
Executive, right, and legislative.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So.
But what it is that a crook is a crook, no matter what department he's in.
Yep. Well, now I found something else here.
Okay, what was
while
that?
While I'm looking at the stadium webpage, and it's a RFI Aloha Stadium site redevelopment, and it's request for information,
mm-hmm.
and for the redevelopment of the site, mm-hmm. and or financing a new stadium and development on the current Aloha Stadium site, mm-hmm. and it's due October 30, 2014.
Right.
Next week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And nowhere does it say anything about all the things we've talked about.
Right. Well,
it's
not going to, and because everybody, the battle line was drawn over there in Kalihi and other places and on E.V. Kupuna or Bones and what have you. And so it served as a great distractant. It served, though it was unjust for them to approach it that way and destroy E.V., they felt that the show was going to go on. And it was a great distractant to lull everyone into these areas and then moving fast and furious. And you may not know that the state health department, for example, led by Neil Abercrombie and then Linda Lingle, but primarily with Abercrombie, to take and look at each site along this 20-mile range as one environmental site. So they don't have to even address the environmental matters right away. They can just do it as one 20-mile site.
They use the salami slices.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's exactly what they did. They
Swiss the whole salami method. Yeah,
they sliced it up.
And then now they also looking now for the cheese.
Hey, you know, I wanted to comment some more about Hart, and I have a lot about Mufi.
Well, I want to stick to this state. I want to stick to this audit because
okay, the Hart has eminent domain. They can take your property.
Well,
they can raise their own money.
The city has the ability to do eminent.
Yes.
See, Hart only goes and say, this is what we want in the city with like a little puppy in love. Yeah. Okay, yes, I'll do it.
Yeah.
See, we gotta establish those things. There's no separation of church, of us states, agencies, and entities of powers in this matter. That's one of the biggest problems that I see in this. There's no checks and balances.
Do they come under the State Ethics Commission?
I don't know, but I know that. I do know that the stadium authority does. I do know that the Attorney General's.
Does the water department come under the state ethics?
Well, yeah, but that's a city department.
The city.
So, okay. but again, the relevance here, I believe, is that how they're chipping away and setting up this entire process. I don't want that to escape us. There's number two here. Stadium authority in the audit has surrendered its management responsibilities to a private contractor which operates with little oversight. The stadium authority has always known that portions of the stadium lands are subject to federal use restrictions. In the 1970s, when the state received title from the city and county of Honolulu, it obtained approval from the federal government to develop the stadium and operate a swap meet concession. Since that time, the authority has not been vigilant in notifying the federal government of changes to the use. As a result, its current swap meet operations have not been approved and may violate a strict bar or commercial use.
Yep.
Right? On commercial. Moreover, federal approval has not yet been obtained for future projects, such as the development of transit stations the city needs for its rail project. See, so, again, when I asked for these statements, they say, well, we got an MOU. But if you read it, say, well, they haven't even agreed with all the conditions of the MOU.
No.
Or the consent decree. Or the consent to entry, right of entry. You see where it's really broken? This isn't about whether I agree with the heart or don't agree with it, where they come from and what their authority is. It's what they're doing I'm concerned with. And how does it deprive the public of good government and the right to have... We're building houses everywhere. Where is the open space at for recreation nowadays?
You're talking about unconscionable people.
Yeah.
I mean, they're incorrigible. They're aggressive and they're abusive and they've got the power right now.
Yeah, portions of the stadium, the audit goes on. You have that in front of you, Richard, the audit? Portions of the stadium swap meet and marketplace operate on lands that are subject to federal use restrictions. These restrictions, which require that the parcel be used for public park or public recreation use,
yep,
prohibit commercial activities unless prior approval from the federal government. The stadium authority, however, did not obtain approval to operate its current swap meet again. They keep... non-compliance could lead to the reversion of stadium lands to the federal government. Authority agreed to maintain stadium lands as public recreational area. The stadium lands originally belonged to the federal government in 1967, and it goes on the history, and I've given that. But again, it's time and time again. This is the emphasis that the auditor is saying. The land must be used only for public park or public recreational use in perpetuity, according to a program of utilization approved by the National Park Service.
Yep.
Now, I know we need so they come in with this lame approach and say, well, here's the deal. We have a stadium, and the Giants and the Padres come and play. And the public comes to see. Now, if we can get a train to bring them there to watch the game,
yep,
but that's a non-participatory, spectator. The people are not, by definition, enjoying or being enhanced. They're going to have to pay for it to get there.
Yep.
So Hart says, well, gee, because it is, by definition, hook and crook, the definition has been changed, or we tolerated this lame definition. That's why the auditor says, go back and get a new definition. And to fit to the current proposed activities and the activities occurring. So what happens? They go in and they just proceed.
And they defer to the state.
Yeah, and then who amongst that group of people you think is going to say no?
No, of course not.
Yeah, we're coming down to the last minute, and I'm going to have to get off here. Give me a call back in the next 10 minutes, and we'll resume, okay?
Okay.
All right, aloha. Thank you.
Together.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
And good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Having a good time here. Just 524-1080 is the number if you'd like to call and give your opinions. And I guess... tell us who you're going to vote for. Get us to vote for who you're going to vote for. I'm going to vote for Tarzan. He's the king of the jungle. You know, that's who I'm feeling like. All this monkey business going on in government. We need Tarzan. Well, anyway, oh my God, that's horrible. But anyway, that in itself was a sick thing. You know, all this one man takes on the world and a whole nation of people, many nations of people. Couldn't do anything, and we wonder why we don't trust people today. It's what they do to us yesterday. Anyway, I have Richard DeConte on the phone with me, and I was sharing stories about the state auditors, and other callers are calling in. So, Richard, are you there? Anyway. We'll pick up when they call back. This auditor's report. It's important because it tells us that nobody really that's supposed to be upholding the law really care, and they're going to get what they want. They're going to steer it away, like isolating something from the herd, if so to speak. We want to extract a certain bull out of the herd. We carefully look at him and identify him, and then start to work to move him out and weed him out or steer it. And in turn, this is what's happening with the government. It's such a strange set of circumstances, and everyone thinks it's about the rail. It's about government just abandoning all rules or commandeering the positions themselves and appointing people. And then this guy, David Siegenthaler, is not going to buck the system. He's not going to buck Neil Abercrombie. He's not going to buck the state legislature and the big money. And he's not going to buck those guys because there's a relationship. You got Hirono, you got Tulsi Gabbard, and you got Colleen Hanabusa and Schatz. They too want this rail. So Siegenthaler would be suicidal for him to do anything but give in to these guys. So that's what we see in these documents, a total abandonment of their responsibility, the Interior Department's responsibility, and not writing and holding the state and the city and others' feet to the fire. Richard, go ahead.
Thank you. Again, absolutely. The Trojan horse is Hart, and everything we've been talking about is for the primary intention of Hart was not to move people quickly. And I'll just read a list, and we could supply names, but if these are the people who have the power, oligarchs, plutocrats, democrats, bankers, corporation, land development, engineers, artists, planners, labor, pundits, and the media, and I can name specific.
Okay, well, let's be specific, because I feel like I'm listening, reading a book, and then I fill in the spaces.
Eastwood Infrastructure, PB Americas, Parsons, Bricker, Hoffa, and Saldo. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the corporations.
Okay.
So you were talking about Mufi. Let me explain. Mufi needed money for higher office. He wanted to run for governor, for mayor. Private industry gave him money, and they wanted steel wheel on steel rail in return. He wanted a private-public partnership, which he's already said last week when he was on the program for the governors. Mufi wanted the state, so he went to Lingle, and he wanted 1%. When she said, I'll give you 0.05%, but the state is going to get 10% of the 0.05%. Mufi went to the feds, and he went to Obama and Noy and for the infrastructure, and he got billions of dollars from the federal government.
Let me billions?
Throw in the...
Not millions, or you say billions?
Billions, okay. From the federal government.
Okay.
And now there was one last obstacle. He had industry, he had the state, but he had to deal with the last obstacle, which was the city council. And he had Barbara Marshall and Kobayashi and some others. And at that particular time, illness was involved. It was a 4-4 vote. It's a long explanation about that. But Mufi has bragged about having Hart and having the rail. But that's the problem. Name the most expensive project in the history of Hawaii.
Okay, I feel like I'm going back 5 years to argue something. I agree with you, but, you know, I'm really wanting to focus on the audit here, and because it gives the listener out there some specifics. You know, we don't even have to name names. It's just knowing that, I guess, not in defense of myself, but to say that something's underhanded here, and I'm going to attempt to demonstrate that it is and how it's underhanded through this document, right?
Well, collusion on the part of everybody.
Right. But I mean, in a generic sense, that could apply to anywhere. But I have a specific document, and you can appreciate the need or the logic to just citing this document. So if you got it, I wanted to make a reference here to portions of the statement, stadium, swap meet, and marketplace operate on land that are subject to federal restrictions. And they go on. Concessions agreements may be entered into for the purpose of serving the public park and recreation, but commercial purposes are not allowed. To acquire title, the state agreed to submit biennial compliance reports until 1987. You remember that letter, Richard, that it says that they did meet that condition?
Yeah.
Yeah. So whoop-de-doo. It's still, the covenants and restrictions still remain, right?
Yes.
But,
no, it's absolutely, that's what the Hager report says.
And I'm thinking, okay, you reward them for doing what they were required to do, and you speak, And they, this is the DOI, the Department of Interior and the city, and they pride themselves, oh, we met that condition. Yeah, but there are greater conditions and restrictions.
When you said before about he never read this.
Right. So to acquire title, the setting forth made a property, including information about any proposed modification or changes of the program of utilization. In the event of a breach, the state's title to the property, together with the improvements, reverts to the United States upon written demand from the Secretary of Interior. But is the Secretary of Interior going to write and demand that land back if they violate that? No, because they've put in place an underhanded practice.
Yep.
Right?
So, if the Secretary of Interior is satisfied.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things, you know, sounds like slamming Mufi, but the point is the entire system is corrupt. The entire system is void of checks and balances, even though the rules are written and there's specific rules.
No, if you say voting makes a difference, it's a revolving door. Dela Cruz goes up, and Romy Cachola goes up, and Menahan, Menor, and Fukunaga come down and name the change of philosophy or policy.
But again, they do that. The reason why they do that is, the caller said, we know the mechanics of it.
Yep.
Well, it's the mechanics. We know the human nature, the ability to manipulate.
Yep.
The mechanics is what we install, and the manipulation comes when parties get behind closed doors and quiet phone calls, ex parte communications, and the public isn't there. And then you get to pick and choose who will run Hart, who will head Hart, who will be composed, the list of people that will be Hart itself. So, you know, we shouldn't take it lightly. There's a great hoodwinking or underhanded behavior here. The auditor also said, we reviewed the stadium lands and found that the swap meet and marketplace operates on land subject to federal use restriction.
Yep.
The swap meet and marketplace is situated in the parking lot that encircles the area shown in Exhibit 1.5, shows that the federal land under the stadium arena surrounding parking lot outlined in red. The swap meet and marketplace occupy most of rows C and D inside the red line. Given the place displacement, the stadium authority is obligated to seek prior approval from the Secretary of Interior for use of the lands for these operations. Lacking approval, or in the event the authority cannot get approval, the Secretary could compel the authority to eliminate the swap meet and marketplace, or in the alternative, demand reversion of the lands in the stadium. No record found of federal approval for current swap meet and marketplace activities. Again, it keeps repeating the same thing, but again, this is the auditor. So how can they move forward? And you've seen the two letters that they're pushing out there saying we have an MOU, but the MOU isn't fully agreed upon, right?
Memorandum of and there's nothing legal about that.
What was that? Remember the letter I was talking to you about just to Grabowskis? You mentioned it earlier. This is what
this is the one that's it's to Grabowskis.
Right.
Letter of consent regarding access and use of state property.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Dean Secchi, the comptroller, wrote to Grabowskis. Now, this is what caught my eye. This is in response to your February 28, 2014. This is to Hart from the comptroller. Request for access to and use of portions of Aloha Stadium property for the Honolulu Rail Transit. Despite our reservations with the actions taken thus far to address considerations for compensation, in the interest of the public benefit, we are willing to accommodate your short-term needs as we continue discussions on the various concerns we have regarding your project's impact on our facility and compensation for use of state land, including the concerns that are indicated in our February 19. So what are the conditions and what are they agreeing to and to compensate? Is it the compensation to preserve and enhance the recreational value?
That, no, it's commercial.
Yeah.
I mean, it's commercial. It's blatant. It's blatant commercialism. And even in the Foley report, it mentions how they're going to use it.
Yeah, and it gives specific details, but these restrictions require that the parcel be used for public parking. The stadium authority, however, did not obtain approval to operate at the current swap meet. Again, it just loaded with, it sounds, again, repetitive, but apparently the auditor felt that that was the crux, that is the most important aspect of that stadium issue, is that the people and the ability to preserve their right and the opportunities for recreation. So, for example, I shared with Siegenthaler of my concerns, and I emailed him a copy of both documents. I'm hoping that he is kind enough to write me back and give me, I anticipate just being blown off, but we'll see. But Waikele Caves, out there in Waikele, where the explosion occurred and killed the five people, the five men with the munitions.
Yeah, I remember that.
So if you recall back, some while back, I did several stories on it was supposed to be a park and given back for recreational. Hanneman did not do that. He changed. After 10 years of preparing and exploring and making it possible to turn it into a park, the DPP, the Department of Planning and Permitting, abandoned that. So the public does not have access or recreational value. The Interior Department should have had their hands in this because it's to enhance recreational. That's their game. That's their role. That's their purpose. Federal Lands to Parks Program Coordinator. He didn't know anything about that.
Well, that's an, term, it's a heading in the report, ancillary development.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, HART is not an ancillary development.
Right.
They talk about the stadium, whether they're going to build it or renovate it or what. But Main Street, in HART's definition, is a commercial enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And something I think that you mentioned, suppose they do build a new stadium, and now who has the property?
Well, yeah, I don't know how that's going to work out, but apparently, see, the advantage is, if you, your HART, would you really go to grab the land and put it in your name when that would be a great cost and a great effort?
Oh, marketing.
All right. Well, no, I mean just obtaining the land in their name, getting title to it. I mean, you'd have to meet with Jesus, the devil, and Moses, and you'd have to go way back in time and get all that in place. Why would you bother to do that when you have the people, the governor, his appointees, all saying yes to HART? Because HART is just an extension of what it is that the De La Cruzes and the Higues and all the other people wanted. And the Hironos and all those people that say shovel-ready jobs, right? This is going to create work and employment for the people and bring in the union, good work for the union. Why would you bother to go through all that problem when you got a government that is wanting it?
One of the Machiavellian quotes is, don't use your own money, use the other people's.
Right, yeah. But in 1979, the auditor says the stadium manager requested approval to renew the swap meet. Administration of the federal program had since moved to the U.S. Department of the Interior, Heritage Conservation and Recreation Service. The department approved the stadium manager's request with the understanding that, quote, renewed swap meet activities will be similar to those originally approved and will not conflict with regularly scheduled events at the stadium. Now, isn't that funny? HART gets to do, will be able to take parking stalls away.
400.
And then, so, they got it so perfect, but the people watching the front door also controls the back door. And they put on a face and a smiling face, but the reality is they're all, HART is composed of state agencies, city agencies, because that's who want it. They all want it. So even though they're named individually, they operate under the same premise, same interest.
Give perception of some common good.
Yeah, the swap meet and marketplace commission unlikely satisfy deed restriction. This is the auditor now. So they're moving on with the rail and still is yet to address the swap meet. And they're banking on the statement issued by Siegenthaler from Interior Department, which is loosely worded. He didn't say any specifics. Based on this, we say this. You're entitled to that. We've concluded. They don't do that. It's all loosely worded. The federal deed restrictions require that the stadium lands be used and maintained as a public recreational area. As such, commercial uses are not allowed, and any concessions must receive prior approval to serve the public park and recreation purposes. Although the swap meet concessions have been approved in the past, the current swap meet contractual agreement has not. More importantly, we found that the current swap meet and marketplace operations may violate federal use restrictions because they are commercial activities that neither directly relate nor support public recreational use. Again, am I overreacting? Am I reading a document? Am I tardy in looking at this and saying...
You're exactly right. And it's far, far larger than just the stadium authority or HART. It's the whole complex of what's going on in government.
Yeah, and it goes on, the federal... I'm skipping through this. The federal coordinator expressed doubt that the commercial activities occurring in today's swap meet and marketplace would satisfy the deed restrictions and public recreational purposes. He stated that a swap meet, right? This is a federal coordinator. Now, all of a sudden, Siegenthaler comes and says, well, yeah, everything's fine. Everything's pathetic, baby. You know, no problem. If you'd like to do this and do that, you know, we believe that, you know, and so, but the reality is the federal coordinator expressed doubt that the commercial activities occurring in today's swap meet and marketplace would satisfy the deed restrictions and public recreational purposes. He stated that a swap meet would push the boundary of what is acceptable to the agency, but may meet the deed requirements. If it is public event, it is not a commercial operation, its use is limited, and its operations does not remove the property from public recreational use.
If and may.
If.
No, I mean, I want to sign a document from a house or whatever it is, a car.
Yeah, the speed limit is 60 miles an hour if you feel that you need to drive that fast.
I have the $800,000 house. I make $20,000 a year, and if I can pay, I'll pay. If not, I won't pay. Yeah. I may pay.
If ands and buts.
Well, this is exactly what the state did with the railways. They didn't have the money.
Yeah.
And therefore, they went ahead and signed contracts without the money.
But you see, they practiced, man, on the swap meet thing. They handled that and no uproar, nobody upset. They said, we don't agree with the auditor, and the authority said that. You imagine? So they were primed and ready. They're ready to fight. Now they've exercised and toned their muscles up. Now, hey, now bring on HART. We can push this thing through.
Yeah, no, of course, it's the whole history of doing that. And I'm not sure. One comment was that this is Hawaii's as bad as Chicago, and they said, so Chicago should come here to learn about politics.
Yeah, now, in 1992, Congress enacted a law to authorize the Secretary of Interior to remove the stadium property use restriction. That same year, Hawaii governor and the mayor of Honolulu, 1992, in joint letter, wrote to the Secretary requesting to remove the covenant to use and maintain the stadium lands, quote, forever and continuously as and for public park and public recreation area only.
Yep.
How about that? And now the same government is turning around. At that time, the state and the city planned to use the lands for affordable housing, transit stations, and state offices.
Yep.
But what did they write? We want to preserve it. More than 15 years later, in 2009, the state executed a memorandum of understanding with the national parks, quote, to establish requirements for land exchange and process by which national parks and the state will explore the possibility of land exchange for the Aloha Stadium property, end quote. The lifting of the restrictions would not be effective until an equal amount of additional land is identified and dedicated for public park and public recreation uses. At that time, the state sought to allow commercial use of the stadium lands in public-private partnership to fund needed repairs and rebuilding of the Aloha. Also sought to Aloha Stadium Kamehameha parking lot for for a transit station to serve 700 vehicles as part of the city, right?
Yep.
And then it, here's what the bump in the road. During 2009 and 2010, the then state comptroller led the efforts to complete land appraisal and identify properties for the land swap. By December 2010, however, the swap was no longer an option because the stadium property, without the deed restriction, was valued at $33.3 million, and the state could not designate property of equal value as required by the federal government. When the authority lost the land swap option, it determined to obtain an alternate definition of recreational activities from the National Park Service. As of 2011, no response from in addition service has been received. You follow?
Yep.
So, again, Hegel said, you need a new definition. And I asked him, where's your definition? And they wrote me back and said, you can find it on that in the EIS on the website and what have you. You see, it's just shameful.
Well, semantics, they use terms that apply to what they want.
Yeah.
And they'll ask you to define it, and if you don't define it in their terms, then it's not correct.
Caller, go ahead. Do you have a comment or question? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you're there. Just they called. Someone called, and I guess they wanted to talk, but they're afraid to go up against Richard.
No, come on. That's ridiculous. I concur, and that's why I'm calling. I see it on, and we both do, really, as a scale far greater than just the stadium authority. It's the whole mechanism, as you mentioned, for the state. And until the people become aware and want to do something, I know you don't want me to go any back, but I can very quickly.
No, I just don't. I want to use these minutes to talk about what's present. Because I've heard all these other arguments, and it didn't seem to have any effect on these people in doing what they do. Maybe some new problems to them.
Well, let me then just give a possible solution, and this will be quick. But it's up to the people, because it's a genocide of Aloha, and they've got to be more knowledgeable, and you certainly are doing your part. You've got to debate, discuss, deliberate, argue. You've got to assemble with some focus. You've got to communicate, and then you've got to vote, but it's a revolving door. And essentially what absolutely has to happen is action.
Yeah. I agree, and I would say I look at the University of Hawaii football team. They got everything that they needed. They got a coach. They got good players. But something's missing, right?
Yep.
So that's why I believe, and you have to look at the individual aspects and name the names and all, because if you say that Carol Cox is a great tight end, well, I might tell you anything, but look at my stats. So we need to know where the records are. We need to know statistics. We need to know the history of, and that's why this audit lays it out and says something's wrong here, man.
Well, it seems to me pretty simple.
Yeah, and so, you know, and maybe if UH got a new coach and put its feet down, we would probably see better wins. And who knows? But when you have this closed-door behavior and activity going on with the rail and the state properties and all, and everybody's washing the other hand of the other fella and scratching the back of the other fella, the public's going to get ripped off. Let's go to Kaka'ako. Let's go to downtown for Oha gets the building for the state health department is. Now the health department don't know where it's going to reside, but maybe up there in Manana or up in that area. But this is what the good managers in our good government do. But this report, the auditor's report, states that in addition, in March 2011, shortly after the city and county of Honolulu conducted a groundbreaking ceremony to signal the start of its transit corridor project, the state requested a teleconference call with the National Park Service and the city to seek the service's concurrence with the state's issuance of a revocable right of entry for the city to the city for its transit corridor. You see, so remember now, HART is, even though it's a quasi-government or you know, whatever, semi-autonomous. And, but in the documents, the formal documents, they refer to the city. And by September 2011, the Park Service indicated that it would support the non-exclusive easement because the transit stop can support the purposes of the park. It expressed concerns, however, about more elaborate development of the site and reserved the right to review plans again. Although the right of entry and easement issues related to the City Transit Coordinator project are almost resolved, the state has yet to receive an alternate definition of the recreational activities. The determination of the National Park Service that the proposed use do not fit within the definition of recreational activity may put at risk or curtail both the state's and city's plan. Now, that's just a portion of that report, and my only concerns is that we talk about transparency, huh, Richard?
But here's the privatized state-owned properties and assets within areas served by transit to understand sustainable development.
Yeah.
As soon as you talk about private partner, it sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that what HART is illusion of it's just so transparently wrong.
Hey, you know, while I got you with this, what do you think about this list of stakeholders? That was a meeting.
I've got it in front of me. 35 of them in Aloha Sports and Stadium Authority and so forth. Well, because of conflict of interest and Garcia and all the rest, I know it's history, but Chamber of Commerce, Honolulu Department of Land Use and Zoning. How do you think the zoning's changed so you could get in your commercial enterprise?
Yeah, where did the
planning and permitting? It's exactly the same thing.
But they say in there, these stakeholders supported them, right?
Yeah, but where are the people?
Exactly.
You've got Breen Arimoto, you've got Aaron Johansson and Ige and Dela Cruz and Waikai. But you don't have, you got the Office of the Governor and Motorsports, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you've got DAG, Department of Accounting and General Service, Land and Natural Resources, Transportation Highway Division. Yeah, you got all those, but it's never, when they did the rail, I'm sorry, but you go back to the four experts that they had here, all from the mainland, I have their names and so forth, but none of them are from Hawaii. So when you go to experts, when you have people who want to support you, Barsoni, Knight, Papadoros, etc., Colazar, they're not from Hawaii.
But you notice, though, Prevadoris' name isn't on here as a stakeholder.
He left. I can tell you exactly.
No, I mean in this, these people interviewed.
He's not on.
Right. You don't see any opposition. People that opposed it, they
Of course not. Of course not. It's rigged. It's fixed. I know Shapiro came up with the fix a long time ago, and it is. Every part of government is in collusion.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature and the administration, and I'm sorry to say, but the judicial.
Yeah.
Because they go to the Ninth Circuit Court, and look how they render their decision.
Right. And, you know, a swap meet in marketplace, various individual vendors. Now, imagine you're going to get a vendor at the swap meet that's going to speak out against this mob.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, next time you show up with your little goods to sell at the swap meet, they're going to swap you, all right?
Yeah.
Tell you.
Getting a break on their general excise tax. Apparently, Higa wrote her report at the request of the people, vendors who were felt they were treated unfairly. And so I think that was the reason why.
Yeah.
And she is, I don't know that much about her, but
well, she, I, one thing about it, she leaves a good record. Track. It's just that, do we read them and do we appreciate them and do we follow them? Or do we put that aside and then engage in the the name calling and the conversations? And this guy's a good guy. We should vote for him. And it's like, wait, I'm reading something here that says during his tenure, he wasn't so great, you know. And that's where we are. But that brings me. You got anything else on this you want to chat about?
Or no, that's fine.
You're talking about the Foley.
I appreciate your letting me speak. And someday, the Vans.
Yeah, well, we'll get on the Vans, but you know the all of the problems that go with the handy Vans and
no, then let me just finish with what I said about the solution at the very end. Action. Action, 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 because talking and exchanging paper and listening to the politicians and what they're going to do and not do, I don't believe any of that.
Now, when you say action, 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 for old guys like us now, what kind of action can we take in our ways with our walking sticks?
Well, I have to start with an outside source because I do not know enough, but I would start with the Wellstone Way, and then very quickly, without going through all of it, eventually turns to action.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from San Francisco, and I remember what happened during the civil rights and what happened with Hayakawa on top of the van with his
mm-hmm.
and sitting in and on Van Ness Avenue at the Cadillac dealership. Mm-hmm. And that is what I meant by action, or what's going on in Hong Kong right now, or what's going on. But when you do this, it has to be focused.
Yeah.
You can't just do something like this with a million people.
Well, let me ask you this. I saw it in the paper this morning. You may have seen it, too.
I haven't read the paper.
There's a little header there. I think it said this week is Freedom of Speech Week or something like that.
Oh, I haven't
read it. Let me ask you something, and I mentioned it earlier. Are we really free people in this country? Because let's say whatever it is that we say we're a democracy, how do we gauge that we are a democracy other than being told and other than being reminded when the president gives a speech or a senator's running for office or a politician running for office? When do we really learn that we are free people? How do we gauge that? Because take, for example, the beating of the lady, the video that we see, and the other activities that goes on. People are reluctant to talk because they're fearful of retaliation or coming out, even writing a letter to the editor. Are we really free?
No, and the whistleblowers are being prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And Rising, just these, the New York Times writer, he's just written a new book about the way the surveillance of public communication
mm-hmm.
and how rampant it was, and the people who can't come back to the United States because...
Right. But I mean, in the general sense, the people, the listeners out there, I'd like to know, is there any one thing that they've experienced, and to be honest, that they would be willing to say, I saw it, I know it was wrong, but it involved a government official... But I would have done something, but I was afraid that if I did something, I'd get retaliated against, I would be fired, or my husband would lose his job. And then I look at that and I think, a democracy? All of these little things that go on, and then exponentially, your neighbors have the same mindset, everyone else has the same mindset, and even when... a person like myself speak, and they say, "Well, you're crazy, man. They'll kill you." So it's just absolutely, it drives me to ask the question: are we really free people?
Well, it's the Stockholm syndrome. We're all in it, like the frog in the warm water that's boiling till he's dead. And that's what's happening to Aloha and Sapono Gate. I'm sorry, I'm not Hawaiian. I'm Haole, but I feel so badly for the people. I just feel so badly because they're being taken advantage of. They're being abused.
But all of us are.
All of us are.
I mean, when you have this kind of government behavior behind the scene, you have a body that, like the auditor's office, who say that, yes, this is wrong, 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 non-compliant, wrong, 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 and then they say, go screw yourself. We're not going to pay attention to you. And then move forward and then go and contaminate the body, that the Interior Department, to and influence it through politics. And that young man, or David, he's not going to go out there and take up on himself. He's going to call and ask, well, you know, they want this, and what should I do? You just stamp it.
Now, I am not a libertarian, and I, on one issue, support Tom Berg, and that was his position on rail. But look what they did to him.
What did they do to him?
Well, they made sure he was not reelected.
He didn't get reelected, but again, he's still active. See, that's
well, that's true too. And see,
and that's why I, you know, we see, you know, and you mentioned Tom, and that's why I appreciate Tom, because there is this reality. I know it for a fact.
Yep,
that there is a government that operates in collusion. Yeah. With various factors, and you get attacked on the street, you get attempted murder, you get your house burned, and the government can say, the hell with him, he's just a loudmouth environmentalist, minority person, who gives a hell about him, let him, you know, we just won't do anything.
Machiavelli,
right?
Don't worry about the small.
Yeah, but if sports authority, someone go and steal a watch, or is suspected of watch is missing, you got the police chief, the police spokesperson, and the TV stations. Hey, you stole from the system.
Yeah.
So, democracy?
It's called realpolitik.
Yeah, and so Tom Berg is a thorn in their side, and I can appreciate that, because when you look at the end of the day, look who is left standing. The people that are perpetrating the lies.
Yep.
And look who can come back and a resurgence and introduce themselves into politics. And it's, they take us for granted, I think. I was watching Iona's commercials where he, and because you are a little more attentive to these things and a little wiser than myself, a lot wiser, more wiser. But let me say, I listened to Iona's, and this is not defending Ige, because I think the system is so far gone now that even Ige, all of them, we will still be in the same cesspool politically, whoever we elect. They all got their interests and special interests, and the hell with the people. But here's what really goes on. Iona says, well, he was with Neil Abercrombie, and the policies of the Neil Abercrombie and the Ige. I think Iona should refrain from that and apologize to us, not from a political standpoint, but for the insult. Because if it was, let us draw our own conclusion, Ige actually went and ran against Abercrombie. Am I right?
Yep.
So if you're accusing Ige of being the backseat rider driver to this, or just go along, get along, boy, to Abercrombie, where's the logic? Why insult us? Shouldn't we enjoy the fact that we saw some semblance of balance, checks, where Abercrombie is the same party, but the party went and voted and put someone else up within the same party, and he was defeated? So that something doesn't work there, the logics, right? Or am I just reading this thing wrong?
No, I agree.
You know, so I think it's an insult to it's belittling for us to, because we can see for ourselves, if you are a Democrat and you went and run against a guy who was the pillar of the community and Mr. Democrat himself, right?
Yes.
Mr. Liberality, and then you dare to challenge him, does that suggest that you agree with all of his policies and you were his right-hand man, and right?
Yeah, they governed by fear, not love.
Right.
And they feel that that is the most successful way to win and to stay in power.
Right. His party, Iona's party, says, oh, that that black guy up there, he ain't my president, and this and that, and members of the Republican Party yelling that nonsense. And then in turn, he hope and change. I got his hope and change. I hope, I'm going to hope that we change presidents. Really. And now what's his mantra? Hope.
Yes, they demonize, and if you're against job creation by the unions, they'll demonize you.
But it's insulting for you know, it's like, wow. So this tells me something about the Iona policies and the things that he is proposing. He has no policies, because if he's willing to tell me that Ige ran against Abercrombie because they were the same, they agreed with the same failed policies, I'm sorry. That doesn't hold water.
That's right.
But it is a bold approach on, and it's like, well, look at you in the face, and you take, when you look at the list of people that we talk about, politicians playing musical chairs, right?
Absolutely.
And you see that in the Democratic Party quite often, Cocciolo, Manahan, Hanabusa, and whatever, right?
Of course. This is a one-party state.
Yeah, a one-party state, but it's a two-party state, because the other party, when you look who they run. Look at the Republican. I don't think, and I could be wrong, and please correct me, but I'd like to see DeJus' face over there in Waianae. I'd like to see him out there hanging with the peeps.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him getting involved, and I'd like to see flow off of his lips the conversation about sovereignty. I want to know where this dude stands, but guess what happens? He only shows up. It's like a seasonal clam. He opens when it's time to feed on the good things that society gives, and that's this. But then, what has he been doing? He's in the military as a whatever, and he gets a JAG and he gets a sweetheart job. We chase him and say, "Well, you're using your pictures, military pictures, in campaign speeches and whatever, in photography." But look who we talk about musical chairs. Look who they put up.
It's very difficult to vote for me.
Same people. So I'm only talking about this to speak specifically to the insulting fashion that both parties view the people of this state. So they don't respect us, and they know that you notice the lack thereof of a aggressive campaign on both sides to get people out to vote.
I'm sorry, I'm being redundant, but what you're bringing up is exactly what Machiavelli said, that the people they want a strong leader, they don't want to think for themselves, and they can be taken advantage of, and that's what's happening here in Hawaii.
Yeah, well, and Mississippi, and Texas, and, I mean,
you know.
Here's
the saddest part, forgive me, but I am really upset about that. About the dumbing down of the people.
But
upset.
Do we have a portion of the responsibility of that, the people?
Well,
I mean, are we
fulfilling your responsibility? Believe me, for me, I take notes and try to listen and learn. The last thing is action.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do something. I mean, I'm not original with that concept, but
yeah.
I've seen it happen, and I've seen change.
You know what I saw the other day and just yesterday, and I thought to myself, I want to gag, but I couldn't throw up fast enough. I didn't want to get it on the sofa. I couldn't make it to the... I saw Maisie Hirano standing there with the weather, you know.
Yeah.
Don't these people have something better to do than to stand around? Look at Abercrombie when we had the other Israel, you know, just making... And then you got Caldwell out there. Well, you know, we want to remain vigilant. You're damn right we do, but why don't you go do some work and let your spokesperson do that?
Fill the pothole.
Right. Go fill the pothole out there in Pothole Village in Mililani at Kamehameha and Lani Kuhana. You know, do that. But you see, they take our weakest moments. And I was watching Maisie Hirono, and I'm thinking, I should like to lead a campaign to vote her out. I don't even know what she stands for. Nothing. You're a libertarian, but have you noticed anything she do?
I'm not a libertarian.
Or I'm sorry. What are you? You're nothing.
I am a
free thinker.
A practical fallibilist, meaning I make mistakes. Number two, I believe in consequences. I believe in reality, not imagery.
Right.
So I am a pragmatic fallibilist.
Yeah, and I watched this thing, and I was reminded, wow, at our weakest moments, they take the most fragile moments in our lives where we're all nervous, we're curious, and we're gathering around, and they stick their faces into the subject.
Oh, you shouldn't have done this, because now this is how I wanted to start, is shock and awe, the way in which the military operation in Iraq.
Yeah.
Well, equate that with the economy, equate that with the state of Hawaii. If you've got a catastrophe, that's the best time to enact something on your own behalf, for your own. If you go to New Orleans, what happened to that district after it was flooded, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got shock, that's an excellent technique to do and or to use to your advantage.
Okay. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I've been listening to your program, and I'm really pretty impressed with your ability to discuss the subject matters. And you brought up the name of Maisie Hirono. Hirono, is it?
Yeah, Hirono.
Yeah, and I was thinking that you might as well add Hanabusa to it. These people got their job because they know people, not because they were elected by anybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then the arrogance of going on TV and tell them I'm the only one that can run. We've got to make room for new blood, for new people, for new thinking, not the old ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They make you feel like they're the only one. And to an insult to injury, you got a dead man directing traffic. How can that happen?
Yeah, I agree. And it's painful because we deserve better. And we are free thinkers. We are freedom of free people, but we're not behaving as such.
And no.
I don't know. I don't know which is more frightening, knowing that a hurricane is 100 miles away and bearing down on you, or have politicians standing there capitalizing on the moment of fear.
Is your program only on Sunday only, or is it on 75 days a week?
Only on Sundays.
Any way you could have it, like, you know, you'd be the only program like this in Hawaii. Can it be on, let's say, 5 days a week?
We can try. We've considered, but, you know.
I mean, people would listen, and I think they would sponsor it. I mean, I'd be your number one listener. I mean, we would listen, and people, because there is nothing. We listen to that junk by the Republican Party invading our airwaves every day. That's all we hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you'd be the only voice of reason, not necessarily for the Democrats, but the voice of reason, something in the middle.
Yeah, I am a registered Democrat, and I vote a Republican. I just believe, I love this country. That's why I say, this is my country, the song that I played in the first hour. And I played that to say to the Republicans, hey, what do you mean, take back our country?
Yes, that's right.
So, like, I never gave up.
That's right.
You know, and so, Carl, I appreciate it, and one day we will be considering that.
I would really, truly appreciate that. I would be one of your number one listeners.
Okay, and we are going to go live on the Internet, by the way, because of it's a new media, and we are live on the Internet, but we're thinking of doing it daily. But we'll see. You know.
All right. Thank you
for calling. Continue to listen.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Richard, go ahead.
Mr. Koff, thank you very much for allowing me to speak, and I appreciate it. And as this last caller said, you're unique, and thank you very much.
Now, when you say Mr. Cox, it reminds me when I went back to Mississippi when I was an adult, right? And the guy says, well, Mr. Cox, I thought, oh, God, here come my rope.
Well, it's better than shut up, old man. So that's what I get until I have my jelly, then I feel better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, now that sounds kind of funny there, the jelly. You mean the lily cord jelly?
Yes.
Ah, yeah.
I've got it all over my pants and shirt and everything.
So the callers out there know we made some lily cord jelly from some nice lily cord. Not Richard and I, but...
Listen, thank you very much. I'll listen next week. Thank you.
All righty.
Bye.
Aloha. Thank you, Richard. Anyway, there are many issues out here, folks, and there are issues that I wonder, what are we going to do to help the people in Hong Kong, for example? What are we doing there to help them? They need help, and imagine the Chinese government realizing that they got support around the world. What are all of these things? But for some reason, here in America today, we all got to look over our shoulders. We don't have to, because it's inevitable. Two things are going to happen in this world. You're going to pay taxes and you're going to die. But in the interim, we can dictate how we live. And if we fall for the bait, and we fall for the Republicans and the Democrats, and they're not aggressively, they don't want to change, because if there was a third party or a fourth party, imagine, we wouldn't get the craziness. Or at least, I shouldn't say we wouldn't get, because there's always, you're dealing with human beings, and a world now where money dictates, you know, that's, I don't want to suggest that there's a guarantee that we will be safe in our homes, even if we had 20 parties. Because ultimately, those 20 parties got to be funded by someone, the way the thinking is. We don't have government-supplied campaigns or whatever. But even that, I believe, would be corrupted. So that's why we, in a free nation, need to speak up. Who cares if your grandmother loses her flower, opportunity to go cut flowers at Miss Jane's house, if she spoke up against an injustice? We need to know what an injustice is, define it, know what democracy is, and inherit it and incorporate it in our minds, then we're free. But until then, we're just waiting for the next sucker punch. So we'll see you next week, and thank you for calling.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.